Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy. On Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
Welcome to Inspired Conversations. I'm your host, Visibility Catalyst bestselling publisher, Linda Joy. And, you know, with a name like Joy and all the work that I do in the world with my media brand, you know I am all about inspiring women to live a more joyful and purpose-driven life. And that's why I am so excited to have today's guest with me, because she's all about that too. Karen Volo, otherwise known as the Chief Joy Bringer, will share her story that will, I'll tell you, touch, inspire, and leave you with your mouth hanging open. Karen was wrongfully imprisoned, but she found joy during that time, and now she's helping bring joy to the world as an expert in engagement, career, personal, and organizational development. Karen is an expert in, as I shared, all of those of the above. She's also the co-author of the international best-selling book, Engage, How to Create a Workplace That You, Your Coworkers, and Your Customers Love. With over 15 years of experience working with international Fortune 500 companies on two continents, she has insights on business building, cultural transformation, and high performance. Karen's passion is helping people better their lives through sharing all she has learned on her own journey. And, as I shared, her purpose is bringing joy to the workplace and to the lives of others. Welcome, Karen.
Thank you so much, Linda. This is great to actually have a chance to talk with you. And, of course, we're going to be connected in so many ways because we're both all about joy.
Oh, yeah. When I saw your message and, you know, off the air, I was just telling Karen that you first came into my awareness when you wrote your first book, which is about your wrongful imprisonment and that whole journey. And I'll tell you, I was touched and inspired, and I've loved watching everything unfold since that time that we met virtually. So let's go back. How did you find your way to working with joy?
You kind of touched on my personal book that came out. And I'll just tell you, that's really been the catalyst to the work that I do today. So I'll give you kind of the quick, short version of it. The book is called 1,352 Days, and that's basically my life journey in, you know, a matter of when my life went from being as fantastic, as fabulous as it could possibly be to 180 degrees to, you know, as unconceivably horrible as it could be. And basically what had happened was I was on a business trip working with a business mentor in the U.S. and was ready to expand out my company at that point throughout Europe, and had this amazing week. And then when I was getting ready to get on the plane to come back home, I actually ended up being taken into custody. U.S. Marshals came and picked me up. And what had happened is that my first husband, who I had divorced many years earlier, he had used my name on documents, and basically I ended up having to sit in, and I was never convicted of anything. I sat in a jail, a high security jail, for 1,352 days. And it was absolutely the hardest time of my life, one of the worst experiences I've ever gone through. It was, I live in Sweden, and I didn't see my children that entire time. They were 6 and 8 when it started. This happened back in 2006, so basically from 2006 to 2010. I was in a nightmare life and trying to figure out how can I stay in a positive frame of mind. And so during those years, you know, when you read all those self-help books and they've got all those exercises in them, and you think, oh, I'll do those exercises, I'll come back and do them. Well, I did every single one because I had nothing but time on my hands. And so it was kind of finding a way to you know, very consciously work with my feelings, try and stay in a positive frame of mind, use the tools and the exercises of all the books that I read, and really learning how to keep myself in a pretty okay frame of mind, given the circumstances I was in, dealing with so much uncertainty and you know, fear and frustration and all those things. And one of the things that I did during that time was really visualize. My charges are dropped, I'm released, I get to go home. And it's just like anytime the fear and all those emotions, the negative emotions would take over, I'd make a conscious choice and say, no, I'd switch over to my movie. And in the end, that's exactly what ended up happening. So I know how powerful our minds and our thoughts really are and can be. And I think, you know, when you learn to work with it on a very conscious level, that's when you kind of step into your power and step into that inner courage that we all have. It's just a matter of trying to figure out how do you reach it and get it and actually start to be very conscious on deliberately creating your life. So when I came home after all those years, I knew that I was meant to teach what I had learned, and I was supposed to take it back into the business world, and I just didn't know how that was going to happen. But that's basically what was the catalyst for the work that I do now, and that was kind of how we ended up writing the book Engage as well. So that's to kind of give you the short version of it.
Well, your story had really inspired me, and as a mom, you know, I can't imagine being separated from the from my children. So there's one story just right there, right? The wound and the grieving that happens during that separation process. But there's something that you said, too, about you actually read and did the exercises in the self-help books, because I know I can speak for many of the listeners and myself that, come on, I've read probably thousands of self-help books in the last 28 years of my journey. And I'll be honest, I haven't done every exercise. So that's a message for everyone, by the way, from Karen, that actually do it. Don't just read the book. And so, Karen, could you feel, I know what the end result was, but while you were doing these processes and really learning to shift your mind, while you were experiencing hell, right? Fear, you're in this dense energy. Could you feel yourself transforming in the process, or did you not notice your transformation until you were out?
No, absolutely. I absolutely could feel it. Because I was working, and what I call this the inner work, and really working from the inside out, I had some very, very profound experiences that made me realize, wow, this stuff works. And I'll give you one example. You know, when you're in that environment, they have these long corridors. They take you to the courthouse. It's underneath, and you have to walk down these long corridors that are filled with holding cells that are filled with people waiting to go to court, and they separate the men and the women. So when a woman walks down this long corridor, the men just whistle and, you know, catcall and all that. And you feel gross. You feel like a piece of meat. And it's just, you know, it's horrible as it is. And then you get that on top of it, right? So I had been studying A Course in Miracles. I actually read that, I think, three times while I was in there. It's a pretty dense book to read. But so I was doing some of the exercises from that. And it's basically, you know, in your mind, send out forgiveness, send out love. That's it. You know, all the, and realize everybody's having their own challenges. So yeah, you can forgive the guards for being, you know, mean or being, you know, how they are. They're just doing their jobs or whatever. And so it's just a lot of inner work and sending out that forgiveness, even without having to say anything, but just in your thoughts. And when I did this, as you know, I was sitting there one day in the court and waiting there and then walking down this thing, and I was just sending this out to everybody, sending out love, sending out, you know, forgiveness, I forgive you. And this, the mantras, not one single person gave a catcall. Not one single person said anything to me. And as we turned the corner, the guard looked at me. He's like, that was weird. That's never happened. And I was like, wow. Okay.
And you, felt it in action, saw it, and had a witness to it. And that is powerful. And I believe in that power. And so that must have been a transformational moment where you're like, now I see why you're so passionate about teaching it and bringing it into organizations.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, when we talk about joy also, I should kind of connect this to since we're talking about that time. I was meditating about 3 hours a day, and I actually received kind of these beautiful children's books. With all these books I was reading, self-help books, I was able to translate kind of all these bigger concepts like joy, peace, love, forgiveness into a children's book. And the little girl who is, you know, in charge, in the head character of these books, her name is Joy. So that's really kind of how Joy came to me. And that's kind of the word. And, you know, just embodying this little girl filled with love. And these books like connected me to my daughters on a deeper level because I was sending them home. So that was a side project. But, you know, when I first came home, I started to publish some of those books. And yeah, it's just a...
It's a series, you know, isn't it?
Yeah. So I have 13 available on Amazon. And I did a total of, how many did I write? 26 books. Yeah, 26 books.
That is amazing. And, you know, it's like the phoenix that rises from the ashes, right? You could have let this story, this whole experience define you in a much less than positive way. It could have taken your joy, taken your heart, your love, your radiance from you. And I'm sure if you were in contact with other prisoners there, that you saw that happen over and over again, or you could feel it energetically.
Yeah, yeah.
How did you know? How did you know that what you needed to do was go inward?
So this is kind of interesting. The mentor I was working with was John Assaraf, and you know, he's pretty well known in
yeah,
the business world and mentoring. And so I'd spent a week with him working on our business, and during that week we watched The Secret twice before it came out, because it came out a month after this all happened. So I thought to myself, okay, if anybody has any sort of skills or tools, at least I have that. So I started, you know, working with that. And then, like I said, you know, I read all these other books that really gave me more skills or more tools and more things to work with. And yeah, so it really became a pretty transformational inner journey for me while I was there.
And how old are your girls now?
Now they're 20 and 19, so they've grown up into beautiful women. Yeah, it's, they've now both graduated, so going on into
university.
I can
imagine the pride and life lessons that they've learned from you. So why don't we talk about Joy, right? So you just shared a little bit of how you found your way to working with Joy, but when you came back, how did you integrate back in, and how did you see integrating this message into the corporations and organizations? Like, where did that connection come from? Because as we all know, they can use a little more joy and consciousness in the organization. So I'm curious how you made the connection.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So I knew when I came home that I should not go back to the business I had before, which was executive search and headhunting. And I just knew something inside of me said, you need to teach what you've learned and you need to take it in the business world. And I honestly did not know how on earth I was going to do that. I started working with the Joy books and getting that out and going into the parenting market. And when I started working in the parenting market, I realized that this is not the market I'm supposed to be working with. So I kind of took a step back, and then all of a sudden, you know, it was like all these companies were getting on our radar that were doing really well, and it was like, why are they doing so well? Everyone else is laying off. It's really difficult times. This was back in like 2012, roughly. And so I just started talking to leaders of those companies to see what they were doing. And one thing led to another, and it ended up that we wrote a book called Engage, and it really is about bringing joy to the workplace. And it was like all of a sudden, like all of my experiences from you know, before the jail time and the jail time and just kind of my whole life experiences, it all came together in one beautiful way with this book as a way to take this message into the corporate world. And one of the things that was really the catalyst about writing that particular book was that we came across the research for positive psychology, which I'd never heard of. I hadn't studied it. I wish I had while I was in jail. But we came across that and actually realized that this is showing all the things that we knew for a fact, because it worked as a family for us, that we had a decade or more of research behind it that we could take it into the business world. So that's where the connection came. And, you know, since then I've developed into certifying people in cultural engagement and doing various corporate trainings and leadership training. And I've gone deep into like the neuroscience of trust. it's been fascinating for me to see, you know, kind of how it's led me on this path of really helping people transform in the business world. Because, you know, according to Gallup, 85% of the workforce is disengaged. It's pretty high. I think, let me think, U.S. is now 33% is engaged in the U.S. market. So what does that mean? 67% are not. So, I mean, there's a huge percentage of people that aren't reaching their full potential at work.
Yes,
so that's really what drives me.
You use the perfect word, disconnection. And when you were sitting in that cell, could you ever have imagined the life you're living today? And I ask that question because there could be a woman listening on the call right now or listen later on the podcast platforms who are in a dark place in their life, right? And they can't believe there's a way out. And, you know, just from your story and what you've shared so far and me knowing about your other book, man, there's such hope in your story, right? So could you have imagined it sitting in your cell back then?
No, absolutely not. To where I am now and the work I'm doing now, absolutely not. I had no idea. All I wanted at that point when I was in that dark place was just to get home, be a mom again, and be with my kids and my family. You know, and I knew that I had a huge amount of potential, and I knew that I could do good work, and I felt like my life was wasting away during those years. It's just like, you know I'm a good person. Why am I sitting here? And then I would try and find a purpose kind of while I was there to maybe I'm supposed to help these people or, you know, whatever. But yeah, you know, I think if you lean into trust and know that there's bigger things and that, you know, for whatever reason, things happen and sometimes really bad things do happen to good people. But if you can be strong mentally and turn that around, then you can really, you know, use that as a catalyst to step into the bigger version of yourself, which is really where I feel I've kind of been pushed or pulled. I'm not quite sure which one, maybe both, into this, you know, the work that I do now. So
you've used the word
all
a couple
I can
times.
Say is don't give up.
No, you know? Don't give up. My listeners know a lot of my story. I was a former welfare mom, runaway high school dropout. Who would think that I would have grown up to be an inspirational publisher for magazines, books, and create an inspirational media platform? So, as Karen said, never give up, right? Do the inner work, read the books, and do the down exercises. So we're going to take a quick break, Karen, and when we come back, I want to talk about trust, right? Because that plays a big part in how I live my life, and I want to talk about that more with you and because it's such an influence in your work and played a big part in your journey. And I'll be back in a moment with Karen Volo, Chief Joy Bringer. You can learn more about Karen at Evolution, Evolution. .com. Also at KarenVolo.com, KarinVolo.com. We'll be back in a moment.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Inspiration for a woman's soul. Aspire Magazine, inspiring and supporting women on the path of self-discovery. Claim your free digital subscription today, which includes access to thousands of dollars of personal development bonus gifts from Team Inspiration Partners. Claim your Aspire Magazine subscription today at subscribetoaspire.com.
Are you trying to get from point A to point B and need a little advice? Connect with the counselors at Om Times Advisors. Whether you're looking for a life coach or a spiritual intuitive, the advisors participating at advisors.omtimes.com were carefully chosen based on their gifts, skills, and professionalism. Om Times Advisors, connecting you with the best advisors in the business.
Circle of Hearts Radio is a sanctuary on the airwaves. Join me, Grandmother Elia, in the circle on Sunday, 2 p.m. Eastern, as I share information to both enlighten and nourish your soul.
Hey, America, we need to have a little talk. We've got more food than we know what to do with in this country, yet 17 million kids in America are struggling with hunger. Makes no sense. Luckily, the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks has volunteers gathering excess food and getting it to hungry kids. They're kind of like food angels. Hey, become a food angel yourself by supporting Feeding America in your local food bank at feedingamerica.org. We can't do it without your help. brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. OM Times Radio, IOM FM.
Welcome back. You're listening to Inspired Conversations, and with me today is Karen Volo, author of her most recent book, Engage, How to Create a Workplace That You, Your Coworkers, and Your Customers Love. And Karen, right before the break, you had mentioned trust a couple times, and it's how I lead my life, especially, you know, there's a lot of fear-based stuff coming at us at all times, and, you know, we can either get taken down that spiral or, for me, stay tuned in to trust. Is it during your time, I hate to say in jail, but in jail, that you've tapped into that power of trust when you started visualizing the life you wanted on, you know, to bring back in? Was it trust that supported you in that?
To a certain extent, yes. I will say, you know, I've spent a lot of time analyzing my life and the reasons and why is this, you know, happening and all those different things. And trust is probably one of my biggest lessons, because I gave my trust away to my first husband, and I shouldn't have. My first impression when I met my first husband was stay away from him. My second impression was stay away from him. And then over time, we got to be friends, and basically, you know, I fell in love with this man who ended up being a professional con man and, you know, was very abusive as well. So I didn't trust myself. And it's something that I really try to, even now, what is this, 20 years later, I'm really trying to work on trusting my intuition and trusting my, you know, the feelings that I get. Because we get messages all the time. It's just we're not taught to listen to those things. So as I'm doing my, you know, corporate work now and doing the corporate training, it's been really interesting because we can do a lot of great work with the culture, you know, and certifying people and how to work with it and use engagement, employee engagement as a strategy. But if there isn't that foundation of trust inside of the organization, it gets really hard to actually make it things stick long term. So that's why I said I've been pulled more and more into trust. I've gone deep into like the neuroscience now too, just to learn about it. And it's fascinating because, like, for example, when it comes to trust, we activate different parts of our brain depending on how we're having a conversation and interacting with people. And we'll do two extremes. If you have low trust, you have a lot of fear in an organization or with yourself, you're activating your reptilian brain. So your neurochemicals that are going through your body are actually like adrenaline and cortisol will be activated. And it shuts down your capability to have, you know, thinking creatively. On the opposite end, when you have a lot of high trust or a lot of, you know, engagement, or, you know, you're excited about things, you're activating your prefrontal cortex, which is where oxytocin is produced. So when you're activating oxytocin and that's flowing through your body, you're able to come up with brilliant ideas and you're able to be very open-minded and understanding. So it's really fascinating because there's so much science behind a lot of these words that used to be considered kind of fluffy or soft or whatever you want to call it, you know, the softer side of the business, like culture, purpose, trust, engagement. But it's all really, you can measure it now. You can test it. You can see where people are at and then basically use that as a benchmark to be able to move forward. So, you know, my next book is kind of formulating in my mind here, and it's really about the three different levels of trust, both your individual trust, like your self-trust, like trusting your intuition and getting the messages and all those types of things, then your organizational trust or team trust when you're at work, and then also societal trust and what do we need to do there, because obviously we have a lot of trust issues in the world as well.
Self-trust is a big one.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting because when I do the leadership training, I'll give you an example here. I had a CEO of a company have me come in and do the training with her management team. And she told me before, there's two people we have a lot of issues with because they're just really skeptical about everything that comes up. And it kind of drags the energy down from everybody else when people come up with ideas. So I was showing them some of these tools that we work with in the training. And they were able to self-identify. And they said, you know what? I see that I am pretty skeptical at times. And I guess it just means I need more information. And they were able to have a conversation without being confrontational, because the person or the two people were able to identify that. Yeah, that's right. I guess I'm, you know, closing things down because I'm kind of more on the skeptical side versus very open-minded and high trust. And so it just kind of broke down the barriers, and everybody else was so, I could just see, they were so relieved that, oh my God, these people finally see what they're doing. And now we can start to work on this and move forward and work together as a team on a much stronger basis. So I find it fascinating that, you know, there's so much science that's coming that's really being able to explain a lot of the things. And when you learn this, especially the neuroscience stuff, it like transcends cultures and countries and personalities. It's just because we're all human, so it applies to everybody.
That's the beautiful part, because you're integrated and in, so it's more widely accepted. And you're a faculty member on the Institute for Inspired Organizational Cultures, right? As well as a guest lecturer at several universities, an expert judge on employee engagement in both the UK and the US. So I want my audience to know, you've spent so much time on this topic, diving in. So tell us, what is the Institute for Inspired Organizational Cultures? Because I just love the word inspired in it, because isn't that where we all want to be, from in spirit, to lead from within? And I'm curious if that's what it means.
Yeah, you know, there's lots of different groups out there working on improving the work culture, the work environment, because like I said earlier with the Gallup statistics, so many people are not feeling good at work. And actually, if you look at medical, like doctor visits, this is a shocker here, but doctors have said that 90% of the people, the cases that they see are stress-related. And if you look at that, like 80% or whatever it was of that stress is related to job, to their jobs or to the workplace. So there's this huge impact that the workplace is having. So, you know, being able to share my message on different platforms is great. And it's kind of funny because, you know, I often say if you write a book, it opens doors you didn't even know existed. So because I wrote this book, Engage, I've been invited to do this judging on two different organizations for employee engagement, which is fascinating for me, because then on top of all the companies we end up working with, I can see into, you know, hundreds of other countries or companies in different countries all over the world as to what they're doing with engagement. And it's fascinating. So it's a pretty unique opportunity to be able to take all the exposure and kind of, you know, be able to filter down to how we can really have a positive impact at work. And I'm really big about, my favorite thing is finding people who want to make a positive impact and giving them all the tools that they can so that they feel totally empowered to go in and really make a difference. That to me is like, oh, my joy ambassadors. I love them.
Well, think of it. It's like a ripple effect, yeah, right? The more you empower and give the tools to, they're going to then make an impact. And this creates this beautiful ripple from your work that affects so many more people. So I love that you, would you call them a joy ambassador?
Joy ambassadors, yes.
I love that. It's, you know, it's just, I can picture energetically going out there. Now, tell us about your book. I know it's a business book. It's called Engage. But tell us a little bit about it. Who was it written for? The organizational leader?
Yeah, basically anybody who's passionate about culture and workplace. And the journey to write that book, as I mentioned in the beginning, was all these companies started landing on a radar that were really doing business differently. It was like everybody else was laying people off. It was a very difficult time in the business world, and, you know, people were downsizing. It felt energetically heavy. But certain companies are like, okay, what are you guys doing differently? And I started talking to them. So it's companies, you know, in different geographical areas, different industries, and also different ownership structures. And we ended up finding kind of the common thread between all these companies as to what they're doing. And that's what we call the five cultural keys to engagement. And it was companies like, you know, Southwest Airlines, Tom's Shoes, Zappos, Virgin, Ben and Jerry's ice cream, all sorts of different types of companies, like I said. And they just seem to be kind of farther along on the path. And what I find in working with so many companies is that a lot of times they say, oh, but that's easy for a small company, or it's not a publicly traded company. And I can show examples of, well, you know, that's not accurate because they're doing it here or they're doing it there. And when leaders of companies see that, they all of a sudden realize, oh, okay, well, I guess it is possible. Maybe we could do it. And that's, you know, coming back to inspiration, you want to be able to inspire others. And it helps to see examples and hear stories of what others are doing. And I like to call that collective learning, because we can learn so much from each other if we share our stories and how we've, you know, made a difference or what we can do to make people feel better at work. And then you get inspired and you think, I could do that. And then you go back and you test it out and you experiment with it. And if it works, great. And if it does, that's okay. Then you can try something else.
Oh, I believe that. I believe that when we see others doing something, it just lights a spark in us of what's possible. It's almost like something was released in us to believe, even though nothing changed from an hour ago once you had that information come to you. It's just seeing what's possible then inspires a spark in us, and that's happened to me all of my life. So that's why I love holding these kind of conversations. This conversation will spark something in someone else. So are you spending most of your time now with the work, you know, that's in the book Engage, or are you still doing a lot of speaking and messaging on your first book, the book about your personal journey? Or a combination of both?
Well, it kind of is a combination of both, because I do a lot of inspirational speaking, but I tell my story in about 5 minutes. And then if anyone's interested, they can read the book. So I don't talk so much about my personal story and journey anymore, other than to kind of just position it as, look, you know, I'm not some happy guru out there that hasn't been through the trenches. When people know that I've been through the trenches, they realize, okay, this person probably knows somewhat, you know, what she's talking about here. So I do probably 20% is inspirational speaking and different events. But the bulk is the corporate training and teaching that I do with the various trainings, which is the certification training and the leadership training. And then I am just now getting ready to come out with a online-based Joy Ambassador training. So it's a video-based training as well.
And I love that you include your background story even slightly, because it inspired me and also inspires others to say, if you could find joy and trust in that journey, then it's possible for everyone else. And the lessons that you learned on the journey, you know, and it's the same for me, my dark times led me to this work, right? Led me to find my truth, yeah. Led me to find my passion and purpose. So there was, looking back, do you see there was a meaning and a for your path that led you to this work?
Yeah, you know, I think sometimes when people go through such very difficult, trying times, if they can find the meaning or the purpose in it, it fuels them to move forward. You know, and you and I have very similar types of the work that we're doing now is you know, transformational and inspiring people and bringing joy to them. But it's the foundation comes from having gone through something really, really challenging, right? And, you know, like we were talking earlier, you just sometimes when you're in it, you can't see it. But you do need to lean into, you know, a bit of trust to know that there's always, you know, one of the things that got me through this was just lifting myself up to kind of a higher, more spiritual type of perspective, seeing, okay, like, you know, there must be a bigger reason for this, or there must be something behind this. And then, like, one of the tricks that I would do, for example, when I was having very challenging days would be like, okay, you know, yes, it's been 1,000 days, whatever, but I'm probably going to live to about 85. So, you know, this is just a small portion of my life, and I've got so much more good things that are going to be coming in my life. And it would just give me hope. So if you can find a way to change your perspective on things, I think that's where you can start to really manage any challenges that may come up. You know, I'll share one of the things that I did when I came home. I did an exercise, which I recommend for a lot of people, is to come up with 3 words, basically, that kind of are the essence of who you are. So if you look on, like, my personal newsletter, my website, I have inspiration, joy, and evolution. And the reason I ended up choosing those three words is because after going through so many difficult things, I only wanted to work with inspiring things, and I wanted to inspire others and be inspired. Joy, obviously, because of the books that I'd written, and I just really, joy for me is something that comes from inside. So happiness for me is something external, but joy is happiness and love infused. So it comes from inside of you. And then the third one is evolution. And I just truly believe that we're all on a journey. We're all evolving. We're all on different, you know, places on this path. And there's people ahead and there's people behind, and you can help the people behind you and the people ahead of you. You can, you know, get some inspiration from them as well. So those are my three words. And I did that, and I haven't changed those words in 8 years now, which I think is kind of interesting. So someday I might, I don't know, but right now they still stick. So,
well, they resonated with me because I just loved the vibe. I loved your message and knew I wanted to have you on the show because I love women who really have come through the fire and took, instead of holding on to the story of the fire, they come out and they've birthed something so beautiful and empowering and inspirational that's now rippling out and changing the lives of others. You're doing it through your work and your book called Engage, right? And your work with organizations. Someone else might be, you know, a transformational life coach. It doesn't matter what the it is. I love the part of the story. I love the part of the transformation from the dark times to the light times because it just shows, I don't know, it just shows the resilience of the human spirit. And it gives everyone hope who happens to be in those dark times right now. So it's just something I'm passionate about.
I am too, Linda, and I just have to say, yes, there are dark times. And for many people right now, it may seem really, really dark. And I can absolutely guarantee we are going towards much lighter times. I have so much hope for the future for us. I just think we're going to create an amazing world. But we have to go through the chaos. We have to break down some of these, you know, unsustainable systems that we have in place that are kind of holding us back. And, you know, it, right now what we're seeing is the light is shining on the dark, and it's bringing up a lot of stuff. But as soon as we collectively deal with it all and, you know, get rid of it, forgive, whatever we need to do, we'll be able to move on and go into a much better place. So I feel like we will be heading into a huge renaissance time where people are going to just be able to step into their full potential, bring their beautiful gifts and talents that only they have into the world that, you know, that they can be making such a positive impact. I really see that, and I feel that for our future.
You're speaking my language. I see it too. I can feel it in the woman that I work with and my private clients. I can feel the transformational leaders all saying, you know what, I kind of have to admit I've been playing small, and they're done. They're like, now is the time to step up, shine our light, share our gifts, because the world needs us to, right? Needs us all to, because of that new renaissance coming.
And your book, Shine, just came out, of course.
Yeah, and I have to tell you, you know, it's so funny that you said that because when I, all my titles, I just say, we've published 11 books, come through me. It's not a business decision. It's not a strategic decision. Sometimes my team is waiting and I'm like, I haven't received it yet. So think of this. 10 months ago, I had this book and this vision for this book, Shine. Right, stories to inspire you to dream big, feel less, blaze your own trail. And we teach an authentic storytelling model. There is no way I could have known, Karen, well, my soul knew, I guess, but intellectually I didn't know, that the book would be born on 10/10 at a time when women are being called to shine, not dim their light, to speak their truth and not smother their voice. The book has done phenomenally well. I believe it's because of what you just said. A renaissance is here. All of us, not just women, all of us, are being asked to step up, share our gifts, speak our truth with love, right? With love, light.
Yeah.
To create transformation, to shift the lower energies and show what is possible when we lead. I call it leading with love, right? Leading from that place. So, yeah, Shine, I just said the divine knew when it was meant to be birthed. All I am is the midwife. And And I think the message is resonating because we're all feeling exactly what you just said a few moments ago. We're feeling the shift. We yeah. know that this chaos is around us for a reason. I look at it the same way you do. It's uncomfortable. We don't like it. It feels yucky. But I'm not putting my energy into the chaos. I'm putting my energy into the light in the world I do want to see. And it's, I think it's a beautiful time, as uncomfortable as it is. I love, when I say a beautiful time, it's filled with possibility. It doesn't have to just be filled with darkness, right? I feel the possibility in all that's going on.
So many opportunities right now. If people just look for them, there's huge opportunities. So, you know, I think exactly what you're saying is women are connecting, humanity is connecting and realizing that, you know, how do we want to co-create our world? And what do we want to get rid of? And what do we want to bring in? And I just think there's so many opportunities right now. So I'm super excited.
I am too. We're going to take a final break, and I'll be back in a moment. And I am with Karin, and that's K-A-R-I-N, Volo, Chief Joybringer. You can learn more at KarinVolo.com. And we'll be back in a moment.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
The secret to success in life and in business is learning to understand yourself. Because the more you can see what is underneath your reactions empowers you to become a more inspiring and impactful leader. Whether you're looking to develop into a more effective leader in your business, organization, family, or relationship, Dr. Catherine Hayes can help you develop your inherent leadership potential using the power of the Enneagram. Catherine is a dual-certified professional leadership and life coach, Enneagram facilitator, speaker, a member of the Forbes Coaches Council, and the author of the best-selling book, Everything is Going to Be Okay, From the Projects to Harvard to Freedom. If you're ready to discover how your Enneagram personality type drives your patterns of behaviors so you can be empowered to live and lead with more confidence and ease, schedule a call with Dr. Catherine today at CatherineHayesCoaching.com.
Do you have time to read that inspiring book or that blog post you've been meaning to get to? In your busy world, how do you improve yourself and keep your life going? I'm Lisa Kay, and my Between Heaven and Earth radio show can transform your life just by listening. Be uplifted with inspiring topics, positive stories, and ideas that really work. Between Heaven and Earth Radio is conscious living for your soul, every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls Project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
This is OTRFM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Welcome back. You're listening to Inspired Conversations. I am excited to be having an inspired conversation with Karin Volo of KarinVolo.com. And Karin, one of the words you mentioned, you have three words that you said are still on your website 8 years later. And one of them was evolution. And I have to ask you, because you spell it differently, what does that spelling and word mean to you?
Yeah, so the word evolution is, you know, one of my three words is just because we're on this journey and moving on. And when we were naming our company, which is called Evolution, the name actually is spelled E-V-O-L-O-S-H-E-N. So it's got Volo in it. So it's, you know, the name. But Shen in Chinese also means spirit. So it basically means evolving spirit. And I love that. I work in going into the essence of an organization to get into the heart of the company and really, you know, kind of make the culture into the DNA of the company. So evolving spirit is kind of what the back name for the company.
It's beautiful because I was drawn to the way you spelled it. I go, I want to hear the personal reason, and that's beautiful. And I didn't know that Shen meant spirit. So thank you for sharing that. Is there any guidance or wisdom in our last segment, tips, strategies, whatever comes to you, that you would like to share with someone that is maybe searching for joy in their career, in the business? Because something you mentioned a while back when you were stating the stats was there's a high percentage of people who suffer from stress-related career and work issues, and I was one of them. What guidance do you have for them? You know, how can they shift it? Some people can't leave the job. How do you shift it internally?
So I think where you step into your power is when you become aware of your emotions and what you're feeling. And we often use the words I am followed by an emotion. I am mad, I'm sad, I'm happy, I'm, you know, grateful, I'm frustrated, whatever the words might be. And the thing that we need to understand is that we're basically spiritual beings having a human experience, and we have these emotions. So when, let's say, for example, you're really feeling sad, and this is taken from one of the tools that I learned while I was, you know, in that lovely environment. Basically, if you observe yourself feeling sad, you can look at yourself, and it's almost like having, and just imagine yourself floating above, looking down at yourself. And all of a sudden, you put that space between the emotion and who you really are, which is your soul, your spirit, your essence, right? And I, when I was in jail, I created this tool. It's called the Joyometer, and it's basically what I like to call a mood management system. And it's just bringing an awareness to your emotions so that you can realize, okay, I'm mad. How long do I need to have this emotion? How long does it need to serve me? And in this Joyometer, I basically have the full range of emotions, and it's got a downward spiral and an upward spiral, which is actually called a double helix, which I didn't know when I was doing this, but I found that out afterwards. And the bottom downward spiral is all the fear-based emotions. So it can be from, you know, frustration to anger to sadness to guilt and shame and et cetera. And then the positive emotions are in the upward spiral, and those are all the emotions that come from a state of love. And for me, love is living on vibrant energy. Fear is forgetting everything's all right. So basically, when you become aware of your emotions, if you can stay above that neutral line and stay in the positive emotions, the state of love, more than 50%, 51%, 52%, then you're actually going to be bringing in the good things that you want in your life. And the more you can stay above that line, the better, you know, the happier you'll be able to be and have more positive things coming into your life. So what we need to understand is that it's okay to have all these emotions, and it's okay to feel them, and we need to feel them. So if you get mad, get mad. If you get frustrated, get frustrated. But then don't stay there that long. You don't need to carry that. You can let it go. It's like carrying, you know, all this baggage with you. It gets heavy after a while. So, you know, you just drop it and move on in life, and it lightens your load. So, yeah, I mean, I think working with the Joyometer is basically it's a way to make your emotions kind of visible for you so that you're very aware. And then when you're feeling a certain emotion you might not want to be feeling, you can start to think, well, what would it take for me to feel better? What can I do? Okay, let me go, you know, help somebody in need, or let me, you know, have my favorite ice cream, or who knows what, you know, something that'll make you feel better. And then soon enough, you'll find, wow, I am feeling a lot better. So I think it's just a matter of everyone taking ownership. Well, we have to take ownership. For, you know, so many people are stressed and overwhelmed, but we really have to take ownership and say, okay, what do I need to do? I need to get out. It's a sunny day, a beautiful autumn day. I need to go out and enjoy the sunshine while I have it and go do it, you know?
Yeah. It's all those things. And not just think that the emotions are the truth of who you are. The emotions are just a temporary situation. How temporary depends on, you know, having access to the tools so you can shift them. But I love the word joyometer. I could see this being shared in your children's books, too, to help children from a young age. Is that what you do in your series, is teach them tools like that? Because I can picture my granddaughter going, sharing, having that conversation with her. So is that what your books are about, teaching them how to find joy?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, definitely. It's kind of funny you would mention that because that's, I have a gifts page for everybody if anyone's interested in connecting and getting this. And I do give it out as a free gift on my personal website. That's KarenVolo.com/gifts. And you can get the Joyometer. And on that, you'll actually get a recording that gives you the backstory of how I developed this. And it's related to my children. It goes back to long before the whole jail story. But yeah, it was originally birthed with my daughters.
It was, so. Yeah, because I could see as you were sharing it, I'm like, oh my God, this is great for kids to help them learn to manage their emotions and not stay stuck in them. Because, yeah. Like I've always said, women are the nurturers of the next generation. And, you know, I'll speak for myself, our family unit didn't have the tools to teach us, right? So with you sharing that tool, I'm like, okay, everyone, I'm going there now, actually. I'm like, can't lose that URL. So let me give that URL. It's Karen, and that is K-A-R-I-N, volo.com/gifts to claim your gifts. And I'm here now. Ooh, you got the Joyometer, Live in Your Highest Purpose quiz. You have some great gifts here. So everyone, I invite you to head over to KarenVolo.com/gifts to claim yours. And I think just as you described the tool and how to use the Joyometer, to me it's empowering because it gives us a choice, even though sometimes we like to say we don't want the choice, like the choice isn't mine, I'm angry, I'm upset. The choice is always ours. And that was the biggest life lesson that I found, that I'm not the victim to my emotions. I have the choice. I can feel them. I can process them. And I can also have the power to let them go.
Oh, that is just so... I think once you learn that, Linda, that is where you step into your power. It's freeing because I've made a conscious choice not to be angry, not to be bitter. I've worked a lot on forgiveness. I focus on love. I choose love over fear. That's like my second motto is choose love over fear. And when you make that conscious choice, all of a sudden you're like getting back in the driver's seat of your life. You're in control. You're in charge. And yeah, you know, circumstances may be crazy around you and you might not be in control of the circumstances, but you're absolutely, without a doubt, have the opportunity to be in control of how you're going to react to things.
Yeah,
and you can choose to be very... Yeah, you can choose to be very, reactive or proactive. And, that's where the power comes in again. So
that's how I
think
my life.
We're learning. Yeah.
And
just by us sharing these things.
Exactly. And to teach our children this at a young age so they don't have to wait till they awaken at 30, 40, or 50 years old, right?
Yeah.
To give them the tools like the Joyometer and have these conversations with children that their emotions are okay, but they are not their emotions, you know? And I have some great conversations with my granddaughter, who's going to be 7, about that. She goes, but in this moment, I am very angry. I said, and that's okay. So when you're ready to not be angry anymore, you just let me know. And then she comes and says to me, I'm not angry anymore. I can feel it leave in my heart. Just so that she can have the conversation. Well, I want her to be able to have, she was sent to me, I know she was.
Little angel.
As a teacher, and my teacher, and I'm her teacher, but to have that conversation so one day she is an adult and can tap in and go, oh, I remember this. I don't have to stay here. I have the power to change it. That's the gift I wish to learn.
That's emotional intelligence. And when we teach our children emotional intelligence, they're much more capable of handling whatever life throws at them in the future.
And that's the gift that's what I want my legacy to be, is just, live from your heart and love from your heart. And I have to say, I have so enjoyed this conversation, Karen. And I'm so glad you were able to join me on the Inspired Conversation show. And I want to give everyone both URLs again. It's Karen, and that's K-A-R-I-N, volo.com/gifts, so you can get your Joyometer. I'm going to get tongue-tied saying that. So thank you again for being here, Karen.
Thank you so much. Keep doing the great work you're doing, Linda.
Oh, thank you. And for all our listeners, I hope to see you next Tuesday, and every Tuesday, I should say, at 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Inspired Conversations radio show. Until next time, choose love, choose joy, choose happiness, my friends. Blessings.
Thanks for listening to Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy. Join our sacred space every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Eastern and meet leading female visionaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. Inspired Conversations with Linda Joy is a soulful venue where guests share the obstacles they've overcome, along with wisdom and lessons learned on their personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations to empower you on your path to authentic and soulful living.